Welcome to the Morale Booster Network, a platform for entrepreneurs, career professionals, leaders, and the general public to give back to the society through coaching and mentoring. I remain your host, Dr. John Ugulu. I am an author, speaker, and strategist. I always say experience is the best teacher. You can stream or download this podcast from YouTube, Spotify, iHeartRadio, Apple Music, Google Podcast, Player FM, and Pandora. Sit back, relax, and enjoy the show. Hello, hello, hello. Good evening, everybody, and welcome back to another beautiful episode of the Morale Booster Podcast. I'm thrilled to be your host today as we dive into another very inspiring conversation. But before we get started, I want to take a moment to express our gratitude to our incredible sponsors who help make this podcast possible. If this is your first time joining me on this podcast, I want you to please like and share the broadcast. And here's the reason why. Because you might just be saving the life of that one person who has been waiting for a lifetime to hear this message. We typically talk about issues that are dear to our hearts. We typically talk about issues that can boost the morale of individuals, business owners, people who are in relationships. And we know we have people who are going through challenging times. So please like and share it. It is free. Mind you, it is free. We're not asking you to pay to do that. We're asking you to please do that so you can save the life of just that one person who has been waiting for a lifetime to hear this message. Now, we have sponsors, and our sponsors play a vital role in supporting our mission to uplift and empower individuals through meaningful discussions and insights. And their generosity allows us to continue producing high-quality content that reaches you. I don't know where you're listening to us from. I know we are global. We have people from all over the world. We thank God for that. We're excited for that. And however, producing a podcast, like you know, like I know, it requires resources, and that's where you, our listeners, can make a difference. If you enjoy what you hear on the Morale Booster Podcast and would like to support our mission, I personally invite you to consider making a donation. Your contribution will help us sustain and grow our efforts to spread positivity and inspiration in the world. You all know that the level of depression right now in the world is at its peak. And also the level of anxiety, the level of domestic violence, and even the level of hunger is so high. That's why we have taken it upon ourselves to do what we can to motivate, to inspire people, to help people stay and live with a sane mind. Now, if you would like to donate, if you are touched, if you are moved, if you have been impacted one way or the other by this program, if you or anyone you know has been positively impacted through our motivational channel, I want you to please visit our website, www.johnugulu.com. johnugulu.com. johnugulu.com. And click on the donate button. There is a button you will find there. It says donate. Go ahead and click on that. Every contribution, no matter the size, makes a difference and will be truly appreciated. For those of you who are already supporting, who have been making donations, we truly, truly do appreciate you. We appreciate all you do. And we know that you and all your endeavors will be blessed by our Heavenly Father. So thank you so much. And if you're just joining me, once again, please like and share it. I have some good news. I have something I want to share with you who's listening. You know, they say when you are making progress, when you are growing in life, when you are doing great things, it's always advisable to bask in the euphoria of the moment, of that excitement, that and that good news all the time. So I want to introduce to you a book that I recently published. This book was published a few days ago, titled Leadership Principles Unleashed. Leadership Principles Unleashed. Now, this book was written for you who's listening to me, a C-suite executive like yourself who's listening, for the political leaders out there like you also. You on the other side who's listening to me, yes, the political leader, yes, the church leaders, the ministry leaders, right? Yes. And for you who is leading a team, it doesn't matter how small that team is. It doesn't matter how small the organization is. If you are playing any role as a leader, if you have people who are looking up to you, there are certain things that you must always understand. You must understand the natural principles, the natural laws. And when it comes to leadership, principles also apply to that. And for your sake, because of you, I wrote this book, Leadership Principles. And let me just give you a summary of what it is. Now, it's a seminal work which unveils a holistic approach to leadership honed through rigorous study of leadership. Now, what I did here was I did a lot of research, right? Research coupled with my study of the Bible, and not just the Bible, real life experience. And for some of you might not know, I actually studied leadership at Harvard Business School. So I have been able to work with people, with leaders. I have been able to work with a team. I have been able to, you know, gain some experience, some knowledge, both from my spiritual life. And I also studied a lot of wealthy people, a lot of great leaders, leaders who have, you know, they say everything in life is a cliche, but it is whenever that cliche resonates with you that truly matters, right? I know you might say, oh, I've read several books, but trust me, when reading a book, it takes just one piece of information to ignite the reticular activating system in you. It takes just one piece of information to make that difference. It takes just one piece of information to change your entire life, right? This book contains stories of great leaders, renowned leaders. And it's very interesting. You see, it's not like a very, very big book. It's one that you would easily be able to read. If you are like me, I can read any book within a few hours because I read out loud. That's a strategy. I have received over 15 books from from my friends who write books. They want me to go through the books. So what I do is I read out loud. So it's easier for me to just, I can read this within an hour and that's it. So I'm just sharing a strategy with you. Why am I saying all this? So that you can go and get a copy. It's available on Amazon. It doesn't matter if you are a brand new leader, if you are new to leadership. It doesn't matter if you are a seasoned leader. This book is for you. You can purchase one for your friends, relatives, you know, colleagues, whoever you feel would need to study leadership principles. Because in life, when you understand principles, it will be difficult for you to go astray, because everything runs on principles. And I have the basic principles here for you or anyone you know who is currently in any leadership position. Now, if someone had told me a few years ago, let's say 5, 6, 7 years ago, that I would be an author, I would not have believed it. Oh, yes. But how did it happen? I was on a journey of personal development. I was on a journey to overcome shyness. I used to be a very shy person, so shy that I couldn't even imagine myself speaking publicly. But it got to a point I realized that the gift that I had inside of me would die inside of me if I don't do something to overcome the shyness. And I know there are so many people out there right now who are struggling with shyness. I want to tell you this. My level of shyness was the highest level. So in the quest, in pursuit of overcoming shyness, I found myself a mentor. And this man worked with me with everything he had. He helped me overcome shyness. And in the process, I realized that life or personal development was just way more than speaking. So I found myself in an environment of people who were in pursuit of the same thing, but a lot of them were already ahead of me. They were all authors. And when I found myself hanging around authors, it clicked right away that, hey, buddy, you need to write your story. You need to write whatever you have up there in your head in the book. Was it easy? No, it wasn't easy. But because I was in the midst of like-minded people, it became possible for me to write my book. Now, why am I writing? Why am I sharing this with you? I'm sharing this with you because there's so many of you out there right now who would like to be writers, authors, who would like to be speakers, but you're shy. You don't even know where to start from. But guess what? I used to be like you. What I'm saying right now, I'm not saying it to impress you, but to press upon you that if I, John, could transition from a shy person to a public speaker and to an author, this is my fourth book that I am publishing. Fourth book. I promised myself that every year I would publish one book. Right? I've already started working on the next one that will be published next year, right? But I'm saying this to press upon you that if I could transition from shyness to public speaking and also to become an author, it means it is possible for you. That's what I just want to use this first segment, this first half of this podcast to explain to you that whatever you want to accomplish, if you are serious about it, it is possible. But here's the question. Will it be easy? Mm-mm. No, it will not be easy. Because if you do what is easy, your life will be hard. And if you do what is hard, your life will be easy. I know someone out there will be wondering, what is he saying? I'm sure he's saying rubbish. But guess what? Is it easy to procrastinate? Oh, yes, it is. Is it easy to blame people for all your mistakes and all your troubles? Oh, yes, it is easy. Is it easy to say, hey, I am exhausted. I cannot take action today. It is easy. So if you do what is easy, your life will be hard. But if you do what is hard, which is if you tell yourself, hey, I don't even know where to start from if I need to write a book, but I know it is possible. If you take action on that, it's going to be challenging. It's going to be hard. But if you take action, if you stop procrastinating, if you take the first step by making the first call to who would help you, it's going to be hard. But if you do it, your life will be easy. So do the hard things today and your life will be easy. I am still a work in progress. I'm not telling you right now that I have everything figured out, but I have tools, resources, materials that I have developed over time, like this one, Leadership Principles, that can help you move from where you are right now to where you want to be. So go grab a copy right now. It's available on Amazon. Thank you so much for listening. I don't know where you're listening to me from, but I want you to know that you are an abode of greatness. So it's time to bring our guest for today. I hope you are all ready. I hope you are all ready. Yes, 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 yes. Give me 1 second. Let me bring her up. Let's see. Okay, she is on mute. All right, so this person that is joining us today, she is a talented executive with over 20 years of human resource leadership experience. She is a leader. Her name is Sheree Knowles, right? She is the founder of HR Knowledge Source, which is an award-winning human resources and talent management firm, and a managing partner with Human Capital Consulting Consortium. Through her companies, Sheree works with clients in a variety of industries, including but not limited to nonprofits, government, technology, higher education, supply chain management, logistics and distribution, professional services such as accounting, litigation, and commercial insurance. Now, she is highly regarded as a business leader. She's a dynamic facilitator and a professional speaker. I know you know it's not easy to be a speaker, right? You who's listening to us right now, it's not easy. So prior to joining the entrepreneurial community, she served as the vice president of HR for companies with regional and national geographic footprint. Ladies and gentlemen, this is a woman with a great portfolio. This is a woman who you need, who every organization needs, especially when it has to do with human resources. So without further ado, I want you all to join me as I bring to the stage no other person but this business executive with decades and decades of experience, no other person but the great Sheree Knowles. Hello, Sheree. Thank you so much for joining me on this program.
Hi, John. It's nice to be here. And hello to everyone that's listening.
Thank you so much. So, we have people listening from so many networks because right now we are streaming on over 25 platforms. We know some people can see the video right now, those who have access to our YouTube channel, those who have access to our LinkedIn and Facebook. They can see us on audio, but we have more, they can see us on video, but we have more audio platforms. So welcome once again. Thank you. And thank you for joining us.
I'm excited to be here. So thank you for having me. And I'm excited about our topic.
Awesome. Great, 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 great. Now you've been in HR I know organizations can hardly survive anything without having the right HR team. Mm-hmm. So how did you manage to grow within the ladder while you were an employee?
So what I did, John, was really focus on learning, getting more skills, learning new things, because if you stay the same and you don't increase your knowledge, then more than likely you're going to stay in the same role. So I was always looking for opportunities to learn. The other thing that I did was I volunteered myself, like to get on projects that someone may not have normally thought to put me on, because that gave me exposure to people who could help promote my career. So over my time in corporate, I went from entry level all the way up to the most senior HR position in that company.
Right, right, right. And that's a good one. So when it comes to human resources, now a lot of us do confuse HR executives to, you know, we confuse it with recruiters. Mm-hmm. Is there any major difference between a HR personnel and a recruiter?
Yeah, so human resources or HR, think of it as like a big bucket. And inside the bucket, you have recruiting, you have training in the bucket, you have employee relations, sometimes payroll. So recruitment is part of HR, but HR is like the overarching thing.
Ah, okay, great. So, and they both require different types of, different levels of education, right?
They do, and skill set, absolutely.
Okay, great. So, a recruiter without a HR major, how can they transition into becoming a HR professional?
Yeah. So a recruiter is more like, think of it this way, like a specialist. So they're specializing in recruiting. HR generally is more of a broader brush. So we call it a generalist. Mm-hmm. And if you're in any specialist type of position, so recruitment, training, compensation, benefits, and you want to become a broader generalist, do exactly what I shared before. Try to volunteer or get on projects that will give you that skill set to be able to do more cross-functional type of work.
Oh, okay. Great, great, great. So now I know you also have some recruiting experience.
I mean,
you have a staffing agency, right?
Yes.
How can that single mom or that dad who is by himself, who is looking for a remote position, how can they get into the recruiting or staffing industry without having to go back to college?
Yeah, so I would say probably the most entry-level way to get into recruiting, if that's what you're asking, how people can get into that field, is to go work for a temporary agency, like a staffing firm that does temp services, because they do a lot of different things and you can get a lot of good experience without having to come to the table with a lot of experience. So you might get in and be in an administrative, like HR recruitment role. You might get in and be in the sales part of the staffing, but that's a really good way to get experience and get your feet wet.
Oh, okay. Okay. Thank you for sharing that with us. So now this will take me to our main topic for today. We all know what the impact of artificial intelligence is right now, although we know a few. Like before we got on this call, I actually did some research, right? My research actually proved to me that a lot of people, especially in the recruiting, staffing, human resource industry, would at some point have their jobs replaced by artificial intelligence. And in my own opinion, you know, I might be wrong because I am not an artificial intelligence specialist, and I know you are not too. How can people in HR, how can they protect their jobs, their careers in the future, now that we have artificial intelligence that can allow business owners to multitask, to do the, you know, what typically two or three people would do, one person can do it. So what do you see here? Do you see artificial intelligence as a threat to human resources? For example, CVs, you know, I know when you receive CVs, now, artificial intelligence can screen the CVs, they can do everything, but AI does not have that human connection, that touch. So what do you see? Do you see any threats? Do you see any threats to HR now that we have AI?
Yeah, I love this question. We get it all the time. And the fact of the matter is, John, it's a yes and kind of a question. So if your job in HR, whatever the part of HR you're in, if it is very manual in nature, so I'm going to use the example you just did about CVs and resumes. Mm-hmm. If your job is to, that's your only task is to go through resumes, then yeah, then your job could be outsourced or used through AI.
Right.
But I always tell HR professionals to think about it this way. When I was in HR for some of my career, it used to be like only one person, that might be me or maybe two people. And we worked really, really hard. Let HR partner with AI. That's the way I look at it. So use AI to your advantage. It is like your invisible coworker that you wish you could add to your department. So treat it that way. Let AI do all of your administrative tasks like sorting through resumes. That takes a lot of time. AI can do it faster. Do that. Let them give you the top 10 resumes and then you apply your skills to that. So that's my advice. AI will never replace HR completely, John, because we're in the people business. AI can't deal with an employee relations issue or a manager training issue. It can't do that. So that's us.
Oh, great. So now I am a bit that gives me a high level of relief right now. When it has to do with, you know, one-on-one connection, AI would never replace that. So, but basically, are you also suggesting now that everybody should up their games, like go and take courses on how to use AI tools? Is that what you're suggesting now too?
Yeah, for those people, whether you're in HR or even in a different industry, if you have not tried using like ChatGPT or some other generative AI tool, get started. Like literally, if you go out to Google and you Google something, Google has Copilot. Like it will give you a whole lot of things. That's AI, like literally. So play with that. Don't be afraid of it. You can take classes. You can go places that teach AI, basic beginning AI for free.
Right.
You can use YouTube University and also get some information. But don't be afraid of it. And let me just say, and John, we've talked about this before, it's not going away. So you cannot put your head in the sand and pretend you don't see it because it's here to stay. So embrace it.
I like that. Yes, it's not going away. It's the future. It's happening right now. It's not even the future. It's the present.
Yeah.
So, like I said earlier on, those of you who are listening to us right now, if you do what is easy, your life will be hard. And if you do what is hard, your life will be easy. If you want to take the easy route of saying, oh, you know what? I don't have the time right now to go learn how to use AI tools. It's going to be easy for you to say, hey, I don't have the time right now. But trust me, the time will come where you would be kicked out if care is not taken. So do the hard thing, sign up for courses, learn how to use the AI tools, and prepare yourself. Malcolm X once said, the future belongs to those who prepare for it today. So you go prepare yourself.
I love that.
So thank you so much for sharing that with me. Now, let's talk about you. Let's talk about your business. Please share with us what precisely HRKS does, what it stands for, and what you do.
Sure. So it stands for HR Knowledge Source, but we affectionately call it HRKS. And we do four things really, really well. So we're a business consulting firm. We specialize in talent management, so people. We have a recruitment and staffing division where we are working with clients to find the most incredible staff ever. And we do this in such a really unique and meaningful way. So we are carving a niche in that space. We also have what we call DICE, D-I-C-E, and it's around diversity, inclusion, culture, and equity. We mm-hmm. believe that every company wants to have an inclusive workplace culture. So we help yes. them figure out how to get there.
Right. I love that.
Yeah.
I love that. D-E-I.
Yes.
So do you, is that part of what you speak about?
It is. So we speak about it. We teach classes on it. We help companies build programs around it. And then our third area, we call it the career blueprint, which it's very interesting because, as you know, jobs are changing dramatically with technology. So AI plus plus, right? And companies are trying to figure out the best way to train, upskill, and keep their people. And we help them think through that. So we offer leadership development. We offer assessments. We offer staff training, coaching. So really anything that's going to help a company invest in their people. And then our fourth and last center of excellence is consulting. So we do HR consulting. We work with a variety of clients. Some of them don't have HR at all, and they just offer it to us as a fractional service for them. Or they have HR, but again, it's that one person or two people, and they can't do everything. So they need an extra pair of hands. So that's what we do.
Oh, that's awesome. I am a huge, huge advocate of DEI.
Yes.
And lately, well, it might be my opinion, though. Lately, we have too many organizations, too many business owners, new business owners who do not see the importance of DEI. Now, what's your take on that?
Yeah. So our philosophy and our take on that is really unique. One, we don't believe that the blame and shame approach works in a company. So if you're going to make people feel terrible, they're going to become resistant and defensive, right? And so you're not moving the needle in your culture. We believe in calling people in versus calling people out. So that's our philosophy. We wholeheartedly believe that every person, no matter what your demographics are, there is a space for you in the DEI continuum. Like, you should be part of the conversation. So I'm going to specifically talk to the dominant culture for one moment, which is generally speaking at work, white men. There's a place for white men in this conversation. And oftentimes, when you do the blame and shame, they don't hear it because you've kind of alienated them. So it's a place for everybody if you want to truly be inclusive. And the last thing I'll say, diversity and inclusion is not just about gender or race, ethnicity. It is about that plus, 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 plus. It is so much broader than that. And that's where we come from when we teach this work.
Exactly. I love that. So on this topic of DEI, I just have one last question for you.
Sure.
Do you think the United States of America will get greater with DEI, or do you think otherwise?
Such a loaded question for a Friday night, my friend. So honestly, I'm going to talk from two places. One, it depends on who's sitting in the highest seat in this country.
Right.
Where things go with DEI. So there are so many states and counties and cities where the word diversity is not favorably viewed. Yes. And so you've got to think broader than that. Like, what's the ultimate impact? You want to have a better company. You want to have a better culture. So culture means you include everybody. It's as simple as that. Diversity is about counting or quantity. Like, how many of this do you have or how many of that? Inclusion is about the experience you build for the people in your company. That's really where I think if we focus on this, the United States will have a significant impact in the workplace. But again, it depends on who's in the highest seat or some of the highest seats in our states and our government.
Right. I love that. Thank you so much for sharing with us. And your company, HRKS, apart from, you know, I listed some sectors that you focus on. You work with nonprofit organizations. So what's the criteria for you to accept to work with an organization? Do you have any specific criteria? Do you work with small organizations, brand new companies who think they can afford your HR services? Or do you work with clients who only have gotten to a particular level of growth?
Yeah, so I'll start, John, by saying that we call ourselves, we say we are industry agnostic, meaning we can work with any industry. So we are not tied to a specific type of company that we work with. But our sweet spot for our clients there, we only do B2B, so business to business. And they typically have probably 35 to 40 employees, all the way up to maybe 200 employees. That's our sweet spot. So anywhere between, if their revenue is around 500,000 to 1.5 to 2 million, that's our sweet spot, because generally they don't have a lot of HR people and they need fractional support.
Right. Okay. Thank you so much for sharing that. That resonates with me very well. So now let's talk about that person who has been in the recruiting business who has been a recruiter for a very, very long time and thinking of making a transition from being an employee to starting their own business, just like you did.
Yeah.
What's your advice? If you ask me, typically what I do, what I encourage people to do is go get a job first, work there for a period of time, own that job for as much as you can, give it your all in all, because if you do not work with your whole heart, you're telling God that, hey, if I cannot handle somebody's own, I cannot handle my own. So what's your advice or recommendation for that person who is that ambitious, who would like to transition from being just, you know, an employee, a recruiter who's an employee, to starting their own staffing firm?
Yeah. So we founded this company. I founded it on the principles of Ephesians 3:20. So we are a faith-based organization. I have to tell you, so we're 10 years old now. We just celebrated 10 years. We're actually partying. We're partying all year, John. You're invited to the party. We're celebrating. Yeah. And yes. I would not have been nearly as successful in this company without going to God first. So let me just say that. I didn't know the first thing about being an entrepreneur or a business owner. I knew HR, but I didn't know how to run a company. And I'm still learning, so I'm not going to pretend I know everything. But like you said, putting in the hard work pays off. Mm-hmm. So anyone who's considering it, the first thing that I'm going to ask you, if you were to ask me how to get started, do you have money in the bank? Because you need to have a substantial savings or access to money for the times when it's going to be lean. And in the beginning, trust me, it will be lean as you build up your clientele and get your name out there. So you need to have a cushion. If you are working full time, start saving some money. You know how, like back in the old days, you would have a Christmas fund and you put money like to save it so you could buy presents later. Have an entrepreneur fund, and just every pay period, put some money somewhere that you can't be tempted to get to it. And when you get enough, then you will feel comfortable to start on your own and you won't be so stressed out about it. I run into a lot of people who start their own consulting firms and they are stressed to the max because they're desperate to pay the bills, which I get. Yes. And many times they go back to corporate because they don't have enough runway or enough cushion to keep them whole.
I love that. Thank you so much for sharing that. Now, if you're listening to us right now, that's a great way to get started. You know, believe in something.
Yeah.
I am a Christian. I believe in God, my Heavenly Father, my Creator, right? But that same Creator, the God, also gave you the wisdom on how you can transition. That same God gave us four assignments on earth. The first assignment is to serve. to serve your gift, the gift that you were given to, you know, to bring into this world. Mm-hmm. And how can you serve your gift? It's by, first of all, discovering who you are. Finding people to mentor you in the area of your gifting. In the area of your gift, finding people to mentor you. So I always encourage people, find yourself a job. First of all, work hard for somebody. Work hard the way you would want people to work for you. So if you are that type of person who cannot give your all to your job, trust me, it's going to be hard for you to even succeed when you have your own business.
Because it's harder.
Oh, yes. Oh, yes. So work for somebody. Work, own that job, your role. Do it. Then have your timeline. Get to leadership as quickly as you possibly can so you can understand the process. So you can also train some other people. Because if you are leaving your place of work without even mentoring people or having people who can replace you or who you have mentored, that alone is not a good thing. So just working and leaving, no. Work, mentor people, encourage people beside you. Groom them because you know your time there is limited, right? So when you leave, the company would not feel the brunt too much, all right? So if you want to start your own HR company, put in the work where you're working. The gradual process, she said you need to have money in the bank. Is that correct?
Yes.
Have some savings because the first few years might be tough for you. Mm-hmm. There's no such thing as overnight success. Am I correct, ma'am?
That is correct. The other thing I would suggest too is that when you start, when you're ready to start your own business, go and consult for someone else.
Yes.
So that way you can see what consulting really is like. You will be able to be on an assignment and make a little money to put in your pocket to pay your bills. So while you're trying to grow your own business, it is always, that's my number one suggestion. Once somebody makes a big decision to do that, go consult for someone else for a while.
Awesome. Thank you so much for sharing. Now, I know it's time for you to go. It's Friday. You need to get things done. Typically, what we do is we always like our guests to motivate and inspire people who are listening to us. Because you never can tell what that word of inspiration can do. I want you to speak to, because we have so many people who are in this, who are recruiters, who are employees, who are thinking of starting their own businesses. Could you please, for 1 minute, encourage that person who just started their own staffing business?
Absolutely.
And they've been pushing, they've been doing all they can, and the deals are not coming. Right now, they are at that point where they think, they have to give up. I want you to please encourage that person based on your experience when you first started your business.
Absolutely. So I will offer you two things to think through, words of wisdom. One, bloom where you are planted. So no matter the circumstances, no matter how hard it feels right now, do your very, very best. Bloom where you are planted. I truly believe that you are rewarded when you put in the work, when you have optimism, when you have resiliency, when you have endurance. So that's blooming where you're planted. The second thing that I will tell you is to always remember your why. We don't have time, but I could tell you stories. You could look for me because I could tell you my story about how hard it was. Certain parts of the beginning phase, literally, I wanted to either give up or go sell some things or get a part-time job. But here's what stayed the course for me. I remembered my why. So if you know why you decided to do this consulting work, whatever that might mean for you, if you always go back to your why, it'll help encourage you and motivate you. If you don't know your why, like take today, take the weekend to write it down. And then the final thing I'll say, I am really big on affirmations. So scripture, positive sayings, all those things. If you were in my house, I have a closet that has like sticky notes all over the door because I believe in positive motivation and affirmations. I believe that when you speak a thing and you put it in the universe, it has no choice but to manifest. So those are my words of advice. I know it's hard out there right now, but if you remember your why, you have a way to have affirmations and you bloom where you're planted, you will be successful.
I love that. Thank you so much for sharing. And ladies and gentlemen, please go and follow Sheree Knowles on Instagram, Facebook, LinkedIn, and Twitter. I know you can currently see her information. Those of you who are watching us, you know, watching the video, the information is currently being displayed on your screen. And for those of you who are listening to just the audio, the information is right there with you too. So you can see her name, her contact information. And I want you to know that she's a great resource. All right. She's a great resource. If you, for any reason, feel stuck, if you feel stuck in your business, just send her a message and say, hey, I listened to your podcast. I really enjoyed it. And I would like to get to, you know, see if you have a coaching program on how I can start my own agency. She'll be more than happy to guide you. Is that correct,
Sheree? Absolutely. We can do a mastermind session for anyone interested in entrepreneurship in general, and then specifically if it's HR or recruiting entrepreneurship. I teach classes at my church, so we can absolutely support you.
Awesome. Great, great, great. And you can always check out our website. Mm-hmm. It's www.hrkslc.com. HRKSLLC.com. It's currently being displayed right there for you. So all the information about her on, I mean, her social media is right there. LinkedIn, Instagram, and Twitter. Right now, we are in a global village. With a click of a button, you can have access to the best mentors in the world. And like she said, do not give up. The beginning might be challenging, but if you have a mentor, someone who has already been through that route, it will be easier for you. So I don't know where you're listening to me from right now. I don't know who I don't know who you think you are. I don't know what you know about yourself. I don't know what the people around you know about you. But here's one thing that I know for sure about you who's listening to me right now. I know you are an abode of greatness. I know so many people don't believe in themselves. They don't believe in the powers that that God has given to them. But I want you to believe in what I believe about you. I know right now that you who's listening to me, you are an abode of greatness. Sometimes you might have some doubts, but I want to remind you to always believe in people's belief in you until your own belief kicks in. And I know you have greatness in you. And always remember, today is the first day of the rest of your life. God bless you all. Stay safe. And thank you so much, Sheree, for joining us. And I hope when next I invite you, you would be willing to come and share some words of wisdom with our audience.
Be my pleasure. Thank you for having me.
Amen. God bless you. Bye, everybody.
Bye.